Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's a Reaction Monday, presented by Coors Light on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. Let's go out to NRG BOB meeting live with the media types. Texans, a 7-point underdog against the Baltimore Ravens. Here's the head coach of the Houston Texans. John McClain better have the first question or else there's going to be problems.
Good morning, Bill. How you doing?
Good, John. How you doing?
Fine, thank you. I wanted to ask you, you guys have won 8 in a row after you've lost. What is the key to, for coaches and the players to bounce back from a loss?
I don't know. I think you learn a lot in the first game, especially this one. Obviously there were some good things in the game. You know, obviously not enough, but there were a lot of things to build on. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when you look at the game, there were 20 missed tackles. There were too much inconsistency on offense. Special teams was okay. You know, so we need to really just have a great week. One day at a time, we need to have a great day today and then have a great Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and be ready to go.
I got one more, please. Through 9 games last year, you were giving up 84 yards a game rushing. Then you played Baltimore. In the last 10, you've given up 164. What's happened to the run defense, and what can you do to fix it?
I think we just need to do – everybody's just got to do their job better. I think that, every offense is different, John. So, you know, with what the Chiefs were doing, you know, it was different than what the Ravens are going to do. But it still comes down to, you know, playing your gap and doing what the call dictates you to do, and then you got to make the tackle. We missed too many tackles. We missed 20 tackles in a game, which the Chiefs missed tackles too, but not as many as we did. So in the end, we have to tackle better. We have to play our gap better, and we just need to do a more consistent, better job at defending the run.
How is Duke Johnson doing? And if he's not available, what do you think about some of the depth you have off of the practice squad, including Scottie Phillips and CJ Procise?
Yeah, I think Duke is day to day. Duke's a tough guy. I mean, he'll see how it feels today. And then, you know, you have like an extra day or so, you know what I mean, because of the Thursday game. So that's a good thing. So we'll see how he's doing as the week progresses. And we feel good about the depth we have. We have some other guys there that could step up if Duke couldn't go.
And I want to ask you about Jacob Martin. You talked about him in the off season and then training camp, and then it falls through in the game. Just your thoughts on Jacob, his development, and what a play like that can mean going forward as you guys continue to use him. Thanks.
Yeah, Jacob plays hard. He's got good pass rush ability. He's got a really quick first step. Best part about Jacob is the type of person that he is and how hard he plays. He plays fast. He plays every play relentlessly. He just gives great effort on every play, and he's because of that, he improves. You know, he gets better and better within our system. And
hey, Bill, you mentioned the tackling, something some of your players talked about after the loss to the Chiefs too, just with the unique nature of the offseason and how many reps they got being able to tackle or not tackle. Is the nature of the offseason, do you think it'll also have an impact on how quickly the league kind of adjusts to the Ravens, given the style of play and the fact that teams didn't get a full offseason to practice against or prepare for that sort of style?
Yeah, these offenses are very unique, in many ways, like our offense. You know, you have to – the Ravens' offense is very different than the Chiefs. There's absolutely no comparison to what they do. They just use different personnel. They run, totally different types of plays. Lamar is an excellent player. Ingram, the back. I mean, Hollywood Brown, the tight ends. You know, they've got a lot of weapons, good offensive line. So, like I said, we're going to have a great week. Our scout team's going to have to do a great job of giving a really good look. And, we're going to really have to, play a very disciplined game. We weren't disciplined enough on offense, on defense. On Thursday night, we have to be more disciplined and play a more disciplined game.
Sarah?
Bill, you added some playmakers on offense this offseason. Do you think that Deshaun just needs more time with his new receivers, or do you see changes that need to be made on that offense?
No, it's only one game, Sarah. No, we move the ball. I mean, we move the ball. It was too little too late, but
oh my gosh.
No, we just need to have a good week of practice and just keep trying to get better.
What did you see from Deshaun in the game? Like, could you kind of go through, since you've been able to watch the tape, like what you thought he did really well and maybe some areas where you're looking for him to improve this week?
I thought he played a very tough game. He played really, an aggressive, confident game. He got us into the right plays. He was able to adjust protections. I just thought overall he played a good football game. I think that, there's always areas for everybody to improve, and I'll just keep those in between myself and the players. I wouldn't really get into all that with the media. So, I think he played a good football game, a solid game, and, he because of his work ethic, he's going to continue to get better and better, and the work ethic of the guys around him, they're going to get better and better.
Hey, Bill, could you talk about what Jordan Akins brings to the offense, and do you see maybe an opportunity for him to get more involved in the passing game?
Yeah, I mean, he caught a touchdown pass, had a good catch there and 2-minute drive at the end of the half. I mean, yeah, no, he's a good player. He's a good player, and he plays a lot for us. So he'll always be in the lineup as long as he's healthy. He works hard. He's gotten better as a football player in all areas, special teams included, since he's been here. And good route runner, strong player, strong runner with the ball in his hands. So, yeah, he's always a factor in our offense.
It seems like the defensive line was a little bit better when P.J. Hall was out there. So, given that, is there a possibility we will see more of him moving forward, especially on Sunday against the Ravens?
P.J. did some good things. He did. Let's see how it goes this week. Different scheme. P.J. definitely showed up on Thursday night and made a few plays that was good to see. So let's see if we can build on that this week in practice and just keep going.
Bill, you guys gave up a lot of big plays against the run and the pass against Baltimore. You did not give up big pass plays against the Chiefs. What did you do against the Chiefs to prevent them from throwing the ball down the field, and what do you have to do to not give up big plays against the Ravens?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is, John, you're right. I mean, we didn't give up big pass plays, but we gave up 160 yards rushing. So, I think they had the ball for 19 minutes in the first half. And, some of that has to do with the offense, too. We got to stay on the field, too, on offense. But, yeah, I mean, you have to, it'll be a different plan. It's a totally different offense. But, you saw yesterday where they're able to run the ball. I mean, Lamar is just – he's really good at running the football. He can throw the ball through a deep shot to Hollywood Brown. I mean, we're just going to have to do a good job of making sure that, like I said, that we get the call, we execute the call, everybody does their job, everybody knows where their key players are, and we're just going to have to do as good a job as we can. They've got a really good offense, and, we're going to have to, obviously play better than we did against the Chiefs, but it'll be a different type of plan.
Anthony Lynn in football, Peter King's column, was mentioning about he wanted to be careful how loud he was on the sidelines with no fans this Sunday. Is that something you've given much consideration to? And forgive me if you've already addressed that, but I was just curious what your thoughts were on that.
No, we thought about that. I mean, we've thought about that a lot. Now, it's a good question. I mean, I think that it's more about the players on the field, the different language that we use on the field, code words, cadence, defensive call, you know, whatever it is. I think it's more about that than it is, you know, what the coach is yelling from the sideline. I mean, I don't think we have masks on, and I don't know how much they hear us, even when there are no fans in the stands. But, you know, I definitely see what Coach Lynn's saying, but I think it's more about, hey, what's going on the field, because they can, you know, when there's no fans in the stands, the other side of the ball can hear everything that's being said. So we just have to be aware of that.
Away from the field, can you just talk about what it's like losing a coach like Mike D'Antoni? I know that you all had a pretty good relationship as well, but now he won't be coaching the Houston Rockets anymore.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's tough. I don't know everything that was going on there. I don't know anything about that organization. I do know that Mike D'Antoni is a great coach. I'm actually friends with him. I'm friends with Jeff Van Gundy, and I respect Jeff Van Gundy's opinion on basketball. And I remember Jeff telling me one time that Mike D'Antoni is one of the smartest basketball coaches he's ever met. You know, stuff. I think he was 100 games over 500. You know, I don't know. You know, in this day and age, it is what it is. I mean, you have to win. You have to. If you don't win a championship, then it is what it is. Really? So, but Mike's a great guy. He's a great person. He used to come visit us up in Greenbrier when we practiced in Greenbrier. He has a place up there. Just a really good guy. His wife's really nice. So all the best to him, and I'm sure he'll have a job here in a heartbeat.
Got time for two more. Aaron Wilson.
Bill, now that you've watched the tape, what do you think about David Johnson's performance, and how encouraged are you just by kind of some of the things that you saw on the practice field that he showed? Obviously, he's pretty determined to show that he can get back to his old form.
Yeah, he's a good player, Aaron. He's a very good player. He's a good runner. He's good in the passing game. I think there's a lot of things that he probably feels like, you know what, I can do this better and that better. You know, he really hadn't played in a long time, just like a lot of guys. But he's a good player. He's big. He's strong. He's a great guy. Awesome guy to coach. Always looking to get better. So, yeah, we're glad we have him.
And physically, do you guys feel okay about Brandon Cooks coming out of the game and just kind of him going forward as he gets more comfortable in the offense, plays more with Deshaun? What do you guys expect from him?
Yeah, definitely feel better about where we are, you know, from that standpoint of where he was injury-wise. And, you know, again, I think it's something we'll monitor throughout the week, but feel like he's on the upswing. So, you know, he'll be able to practice more and things like that.
Hey, Bill, how much have you guys been able to learn from the few games that the Ravens did lose last year? Do you guys go back to some of that tape and try to pick some pieces from that?
Yeah, very few games, though. So it's – you know, you're going back to, yeah, you definitely are watching all the games because you only have one game to go off of this year, you know, yesterday's game. So you've got to go back and review all the games, you know, obviously the game that we played against them, you know, every game, their playoff games, their regular season games. And you just try to do, you're always just thinking about how are they going to attack you in all three phases? You know, how do they see you? They may see you differently than they see Pittsburgh, or differently than they see Cleveland, or, you know, that's something that we have to do a good job. That's every week. You know, how are they seeing you relative to how you play, your style of play? So, you know, but in order to do that, you got to watch all the games. So, you know, we're grinding through that, and you know, we'll come up with a good plan, and then we got to go out there and execute it.
All right, interesting quote from Bill O'Brien on Mike D'Antoni. Also, I think he needs to quit babysitting a specific unit on the team. And speaking of that, Seth Payne has a rant about something that cannot happen leading up to the game against the Baltimore Ravens. Reaction Monday continues. I'm fired the hell up. I'm going to have to go get some water and throw some water on the face before I talk about this next.
Is this real?
It's a Reaction Monday, presented by Coors Light on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's tough. I don't know everything that was going on there. I don't know anything about that organization. I do know that Mike D'Antoni is a great coach. I'm actually friends with him. I'm friends with Jeff Van Gundy, and I respect Jeff Van Gundy's opinion on basketball. And I remember Jeff telling me one time that Mike D'Antoni is one of the smartest basketball coaches he's ever met. You know, it's tough. I think he was 100 games over 500. You know, I don't know. You know, in this day and age, it is what it is. I mean, you have to win. You have to. If you don't win a championship,
what?
Then it is what it is. So,
okay, you don't win a championship. It is what it is. That's Bill O'Brien talking about former Rockets head coach Mike D'Antoni. Your reaction when you heard that?
I was flabbergasted. I'm telling you right now, it was one of these things, one of those moments where you go, wait a minute. Bill O'Brien is saying, if you don't win a championship, it is what it is. Bill O'Brien has been coach of the Houston Texans for 3 years longer than Mike D'Antoni was coach and hasn't even sniffed the success that Mike D'Antoni did. Who would have thought that we'd land here today, right? You know, Mike D'Antoni, you know, not returning as the Rockets coach. No big surprise if you listen to our show. We've been talking about it for forever over the last, about he wasn't going to be returning as head coach. But who would have thought that Bill O'Brien would be the one that all of a sudden makes Mike D'Antoni part of today's show? That's ludicrous. I'm not trying to get too agitated here and over the top, but those words actually formed his mouth in to make those words. If you don't win a championship, it is what it is. He's been here 3 years longer and hadn't gotten anywhere close to the success that Mike D'Antoni has. It's crazy.
I am going to get pretty ticked off because
I'm trying to hold, show a little restraint here.
I don't even fault B.O.B. for the D'Antoni quote, but something he said there that I think is absolutely, it drives me nuts when it comes to how Bill O'Brien handles the accountability of the offense. I feel like he's still breastfeeding him. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like they just get so babied by Bill O'Brien to the point where he had the nerve to shape his lips to say this about the Houston Texans offense following the week one matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. And I just don't understand why this is always a thing mm-hmm. when Bill O'Brien talks about the offense.
Oh, no, it's only one game, sir. No, we moved the ball. I mean, moved the ball. It was too little too late, but no, we just need to have a good week of practice and, just keep trying to get better.
Let me explain something to you, okay? whenever you're down three possessions, whenever you score 7 points at half, and then they're up 24-7 in football, and I know Bill O'Brien is in football, so he knows this, but there's tendency by the defense to kind of let off the gas a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's why you're able to score these mop-up duty touchdowns. Could I interest you in some stats?
Please.
Because I don't know what exactly the expectations are for this offense. With everything that they've invested in the offense, if you think that they move the ball on offense, just tell me exactly how I am supposed to measure that. And no, I didn't watch the tape. Okay, coach? I didn't watch the tape. But through 1 week of the season, the Texans are 18th in yards. And they're 21st in scoring of all NFL defense, of all NFL offenses. And if your offense isn't ready to go and isn't able to keep up at halftime, just like it was against Kansas City, where it was mm-hmm. a three-possession game, and just like it was last year against Denver, if a team goes up 3 or 4 possessions and then you move the rock, that doesn't mean the offense moved the ball. That means that the game got so far out of hand that the defense took their foot off the gas.
They played you differently.
Exactly. And this is last year against Denver, after the Denver game, where you were down damn near 5 touchdowns at one point. Bill O'Brien ran off the field and he said, "You suck too, mother effer," to a fan. And the offense clearly wasn't ready to go toe-to-toe with the Denver Broncos. They had, just like they did against Kansas City, some mop-up duty, and this is what we had to hear Bill O'Brien say when he was talking about the offense.
We ran the ball for over 100 yards. I mean, it was a horrible game, but, like, the offensive line, you know, again, we had some issues with penalties, like has been pointed out 50 times between the last two press conferences, rightfully so.
There are also some situations where we saw Bradley Roby and Jonathan Joseph on the side.
I mean, there were some things on offense that were pretty good. I'm not sure if you guys watched the film.
No, I didn't.
Look, I know it was a terrible game.
You need to.
Just throw that out there. It wasn't horseshit on offense.
Why is the offense always babysat here? Why is the offense? This offense under Bill O'Brien's watch has never been in the top half of DVOA ever.
Never.
It has never happened. Don't sit there and tell me that you moved the ball on offense. Nobody in their right mind. And maybe it's just trying to make them feel good like he did against Denver. And hell, they responded with the win against Indianapolis in Denver. And maybe they respond here with a win against Baltimore. And next Reaction Monday is going to be a lot more fun for all of us because that's what we want to happen. We want this offense to thrive. We want these resources to pay off. We want all of this attention that has been paid to this offense to make the offense actually look good and actually be in maybe the top half, maybe the top 10 in the league for the first time. But nobody who watched that game with an ounce of football sense thinks that the offense moved the ball and that the offense looked good.
And he knows that. But I feel like he's not talking to us, you know, anymore. Over the last couple of years, when he says things like this, he's talking to Cal McNair. He's trying to let people in the organization above him know, Cal and Janice, you know what, we move the ball. You know, and I know he has these meetings with them too, and he talks about the team with Cal on a regular basis. But I think he's just trying to get it out there so more people can fall in line with, hey man, it wasn't awful. It wasn't that bad.
No, it was.
And it was.
It was, coach.
It was. Yeah, it really was.
You had that one drive and it was awful, and then the game was out of control and the Chiefs were in control. It was awful. The offense sucked. Okay? There's no problem in saying that. The offense sucked. But don't take my word for it. Let's hear from Seth Payne. Seth Payne talking about an offensive line, which, by the way, you've dedicated 3 first-round picks. You've dedicated 3 second-round picks. You've paid Zach Fulton. You've paid Nick Martin. You've made Laremy Tunsil the highest-paid offensive line lineman in NFL history. The offensive line, we know that there's been a lot dedicated to it, but Seth Payne watched the tape of the offensive line against Kansas City, and he was not pleased with this offensive line. And this is one thing that cannot happen. Of all the things that can happen, this cannot happen. If this happens, if this is a bad offensive line, everybody over there from the head coach to the janitor needs to be fired.
Yeah.
Because you cannot dedicate this much to an offensive line and ignore other aspects and it not at least be good. Here is Seth Payne, one of the true gifts that we have at this radio station on a Reaction Monday, a Seth Payne breakdown and a Seth Payne rant on the offensive line.
I watched this, because there's the old saying that it's never as bad as you thought and it's never as good as you thought. Okay. And you have a huge win.
Does that
you go
apply?
Back and you watch and you're like, oh, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. It was worse than I thought. It actually was genuinely worse than I thought. I wasn't as disgusted during the game because, it's when I went back and watched and saw these unforgivable errors, particularly on the offensive line, that I felt like I'd been wronged personally, because I was one of the people that, along with a cacophony of other voices, said, oh yeah, well look, you can actually feel good about the offensive line going into this season. I couldn't have been more wrong. You should feel bad about the offensive line right now. These are good athletes and potentially good players doing really bad things. They looked woefully unprepared. Across the line with the offensive line, with the tight ends, and point out to an egregiously bad block at various points in this game, almost to a man. Tyrann Mathieu might as well have just lined up as a wide 9 defensive end, and he hump-moved Darren Fells. It was ridiculous. It was absurd. And it doesn't end there. The mental errors, Laremy Tunsil, first off, he starts off the game with an offsides, or a false start. He actually got away with a false start in that game. Yeah, when he said that he had a target on his back. Like, he actually got away with a false start in that game. There were run plays where 3-4 offensive linemen were getting knocked back behind the line of scrimmage, and this is the important part, did not look like they even gave a damn. Titus Howard is standing around watching like he's an observer. Like, oh, isn't this a pleasant display of football out here? Yeah, it's a good defensive effort because you guys don't look like you give a damn. It was disgusting. These guys should, it was ridiculous, Sean.
Seth, who do you blame for that? Is that a player thing? Is it a coaching thing? Is it a combination of the two?
It's got to be coaching at this point. Look, the Chiefs are a much better team than the Texans, but the Chiefs also actually looked like they were prepared to play football. Yeah. The Texans did not look like they were prepared to play football. I mean, you had an entire training camp to get ready for this one game. At the very least, look like you actually give a damn.
Yeah,
it was really, like, Titus Howard's really got to get his act together. He looked like a guy that doesn't know what it takes to play in the NFL. There's just no way around it. It was just really bad pass protection. After they got off script, it looked like so much of the same old, well, they're going to try something completely new this game plan because they're a game plan offense, but they're not going to be able to pull any of it off.
Oh, my.
I was listening to this morning. Obviously, you know, talk to you and Figgy about it because it resonates louder when it's a former NFL defensive lineman talking about it. You and I were saying the same things on Friday. Man, if this offensive line, if this was a sign of things to come, well, maybe it was because it's Chris Jones, you know, maybe because that defensive. Frank Clark, exactly. But it wasn't. You know, you and I were right. It's coaching. They looked unprepared. And he's right if you go back and look about, you know, Titus Howard got that initial false start. Jeremy Tunsil did it at the same time. Laremy Tunsil did it at the same time. Coaching, if this offensive line fails and consistently fails,
should be fired. You have to. I mean, you have to.
It's
you traded full drafts for it. I mean, it's
a fireable offense. No, I'll put it that way. No, that's a fireable offense.
It can't happen. Like, it cannot happen. And it's becoming more apparent that you have an offensive minded head coach. And maybe this offense just isn't well coached. Maybe that's one of the biggest problems. But we'll see. It is a week to week league. That is the beauty of it. But don't try to tell me the offense was good, because it was not. And that offensive line was pathetic. Let's play the hits. Mike D'Antoni, as we mentioned, looking for a new job. Astros are treading water, and all kinds of action in the NFL, including a guy whose status for Sunday's game is doubtful. How concerning is that? Hits are lit next.
I mean, you know, look, I think at the end of the day, it's still a league about winning, right? It's all about winning.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Duke Johnson, he left the game against Kansas City with a leg injury. According to Ian Rappaport, his status for the Texans on Sunday is in doubt. Now, we know David Johnson's the starter. Behind Duke Johnson, it gets a little bit interesting and a little bit thin at the running back position. You have C.J. Procise, who the Texans brought in. They put him on the practice squad. They're going to activate him. 65 career carries in four years. So he's averaging 4 yards per attempt. So 65 carries in 4 years. Buddy Howell, who we hear a lot about in training camp, been with the Texans for 3 seasons. He has 5 carries for 10 yards.
In 3 seasons?
5 carries for 10 yards, Buddy Howell. And he's going to be one of the guys backing up David Johnson. Maybe he's fresh. I mean, he
better be.
Maybe he's fresh, depending on how much wear and tear he puts on his legs in on special teams. But 5 carries and 3 yards, and all of a sudden, he's going to be getting carries against the Baltimore Ravens. I find that hard to believe. I don't know. Maybe they're just going to have to rely on Procise and Buddy Howell. But
you talk about a week to week. You talk about a week to week league, and you're not wrong. I mean, the Texans are notorious. In fact, Bill O'Brien was asked about how he, consistently has followed up a really bad performance with a nice performance or a win. So things can change pretty quickly, especially for Bill O'Brien's Texans. He just has a way of surviving, right? But you can't survive if your offensive line isn't what you thought it was. And again, maybe it changes. Maybe they're just a bunch of road graders this week, you know, and they just dominate the Ravens. But if this is something, and you just heard Seth Payne talking about it, and it was very eye-opening about the bad coaching, the bad technique that the offensive line had, and running backs that don't have experience in this league like they should and are not really top-level running backs, that combination of an offensive line that isn't what it's cracked up to be and running backs that aren't as very good, to be honest, that's a bad combination that's going to hinder you all year long.
70 combined carries in 7 years combined of playing for the Texans behind David Johnson. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. I don't expect Duke to be on the field. Neither does Ian Rappaport, and he's very, very, very...
He said it's a long shot.
Admitted, it's a long shot.
Yeah.
And we saw him limp off the field. So we'll see what happens. Maybe this means more Deshaun running. Baltimore's defense pretty good against the run as well. Tennessee Titans first-round pick Isaiah Wilson. He was arrested Friday night. Got a DUI. He was booked at 11:29 p.m. And then he was bonded out at 1:28 a.m. Wilson blew a .107 when he was pulled over. Of course, the legal consumption is below .08, so he just went a little bit over. Poor kid. He's got a game on Monday. Probably went out and had a few drinks. He's a massive human being. He probably thought he was okay. And then the dude gets arrested 3 days before what's supposed to be his NFL debut, Monday Night Football, national TV. And to add salt to the wounds, Ian Rappaport, when he was reporting this, accidentally said he was released from prison this morning. I was like, that's pretty harsh.
He had a .107. And I think in Texas, is Texas now
.08?
Oh, it's still .08 too, but it used to be .010. So he was right on the, wrong is wrong. He did it and all that. So prison. Released from prison? Oh, my gosh.
So we'll see what happens. Titans.
Pretty harsh.
Second game of the doubleheader tonight in the NFL. Colts fall to the Jags 27-20. Minshew Mania 19 of 20. Marlon Mack, he left the game with a torn Achilles, so looks like Jonathan Taylor's probably going to be the main back out there in Indianapolis. Gardner Minshew doing his thing. We thought the Jags weren't even trying to win, but they get the dub over John Lopez's Indianapolis Colts.
In the background, what?
Why are they Mike Colt? There he is. There he is, barking like a dog. I did like this Colts team. I do still like this Colts team. They're up against it, though, with no Marlon Mack. Puts a lot more pressure on Jonathan Taylor and a lot more pressure on Phillip Rivers, who you don't want to have to carry the team.
Well, they tried yesterday. I don't know what was going on. I don't know why they were trying to do that. I was riding in. I heard John Harris call out the OG John Lopez. Here's a middle finger from John Harris to Lopez.
I watched the Colts and the Jags. I'm like, this is the Colts? This is the team that I've been hearing from people, even in this town, coming up at 10 o'clock. John Lopez will tell you he's been talking about the Colts. I'm looking at that Colts team going, okay, why is Phillip Rivers throwing the ball 48 times? Who has the best offensive line in the league? Arguably, the Colts do. And they threw it 48 times.
Yeah, that's
so
why I like them.
What are they doing?
I get his point, and it's valid. But I feel the Colts with that offensive line and Jonathan Taylor, it's definitely going to take a hit without Marlon Mack, but I think they're going to be fine with Taylor.
Baltimore, next on the Texans' schedule, 38-6 over the Browns. Lamar Jackson, 3 touchdowns, 2 to Mark Andrews. Hollywood Brown, 5 catches for 101 yards. J.K. Dobbins, 2 touchdowns in his first game in the NFL. Here's John Harbaugh talking about what he liked from his team and the same team that's going to be right down the street in 6 days right here on Sports Radio 610.
Lamar Jackson just played a phenomenal game. He just played a top-level game in every single way, and I think he was probably the biggest difference in the game. I got to give a lot of credit to the rookies who started the game, all of them, really. I mean, those guys played good NFL football, and we talked. I told him earlier, I said, and there's other guys, too, that played on special teams, Prochet and Devin and others. I don't want to forget anybody, but the fact that they now they got a game under their belt. Now they can go, okay, I can do this, and they did it very well. I think Matt Skura coming back at starting at center after what he's been through is an incredible thing, and I'm really proud of those guys.
Shouted out the rookies. That's the thing about Baltimore is they've added one of the best vets in Calais Campbell for a 5th-round pick, I'd like to add. And they got these rookies, and it seems like they like their rookies. It seems like John Harbaugh, B.O.B. says, you know, it's a veteran year, and the rookies don't know anything.
Yeah.
But rookies, Baltimore seems
they don't know anything.
Baltimore seems to like their rookies, seem to be leaning on their rookies pretty heavily.
Well, I've been saying it since we heard Bill O'Brien say that. Somebody's going to win Rookie of the Year. Rookies are going to make all rookie teams, and maybe some even the Pro Bowl. And you can't be afraid of it. You can't be making excuses for something that everyone is doing in this league. So you have to make the most of it, and look like Jim Harbaugh is. And they're coming into town, man. They're coming into town this week.
J.K. Dobbins was the guy I wanted the Texans to have. Yeah. Now, he only had 7 carries. They were basically using him on short yardage, just 22 yards, but a couple of those were near the goal line where, you know, you obviously can't get many more yards than that. But 2 touchdowns. It's crazy. I wanted J.K. to be a part of this Texans team. I wanted him to stay in his home state of Texas. And now there's no Duke Johnson. You got 2 guys who have 70 combined carries in 7 years. And the Ravens are coming to town. Looks like they're going to use J.K. Dobbins a little bit. Patriots get the dub in Cam Newton's debut. 21-11 over the Miami Dolphins. Newton with 2 touchdowns on the ground and 1 in the air. Not a bad debut for Cam Newton. Clint Sterner already admitting he's wrong, eating that crow. Impressed with how Josh McDaniels was using Cam Newton in this game.
Well, I think Bill Belichick was pretty dang impressed, too. And I just keep – it's just fascinating to me the way Bill Belichick talks about Cam Newton, rightfully so, but didn't do something similar for the greatest quarterback in the history of the game. Clearly there was something there. But on Cam Newton himself – I'm with you. You know, I'm a Patriots hater, obviously, because of all the success they've had and what they've done to teams that we follow. But you can't help but be happy for Cam Newton. You can't help it. You know, the guy has done everything the right way, often gets a bad rap, has a little bit of that LeBron kind of bias against him, you know, that people just inherently, because of the way he looks and the way he sounds and everything else, his popularity, people tend to talk bad about him or hope for the worst. You got to hope for the best from here on out.
Yeah, he's pretty damn flashy, to say the very least. But he gets the dub, and you got to say this. Look, the Dolphins suck. Okay, yeah. let's just pretend the Dolphins stink. I mean, on the text line, Dolphins are terrible. Why are you crowning them after 1 week? Cam Newton didn't do anything. He basically beat a high school team. Okay, they held the Dolphins to 11 points, and they lost four of their starting linebackers. Like, the New England Patriots lost four of their starting linebackers, and they still held Miami to 11 points. You can minimize that. That's impressive to me, and there's a reason they got the best defensive coach of all time. Jets 17, Bills 27. Josh Allen, three total touchdowns, two in the air, 312 yards passing. Also runs for a touchdown, 57 yards. Josh Allen looked pretty good. It's the Jets, but I know you expect big things from Josh Allen. Bills got a hell of a roster. If Josh Allen can take that next step, they're going to be a problem.
I've been talking about it this over the last month or so. I think he's going to have a huge year. His ability to avoid trouble and rush the ball is very, very underrated. Had more rushing yards than Deshaun Watson. That's all you need to know last year. And certainly this week had more rushing yards than Deshaun Watson. He's very versatile. Some people call him the white Mike Vick. I don't know if I'll go that far.
Yeah,
but
I wouldn't do that.
He's pretty dang good.
Yeah, let's move past that. Dump that figgy, actually. Raiders 34, Panthers 30. Las Vegas gets the dub. They're going to be a team trying to compete for a playoff spot. Chargers 16. Bengals 13, Joe Burrow with a touchdown scramble at the end of the half. Also a bad pass interference call against A.J. Green that would have resulted in a loss. Couple big injuries. Chargers linebacker Drew Tranquil carted off. They already have Derwin James gone for the season, and D.J. Reader, former Texan, carted off for the Cincinnati Bengals. But the Chargers get that dub. Tampa Bay 23, the Saints 34. Tom Brady with two picks, including a pick six. Saints are good, man. Like, they're just a complete football team. Michael Thomas does nothing. They're still getting the job done. Defense is good. The offense, they can basically do whatever they want, even when they're not clicking on all cylinders. They get the job done.
Kamara was outstanding.
He is outstanding.
And they have all the weapons. I was, if you remember Friday, I was expecting. I talked about how I think the Saints might take a step back. Yeah, I don't think so. At least not judging from the first appearance.
San Francisco 20, Cardinals 24. We'll hear from DeAndre Hopkins, who only had 14 catches for 151 yards. Texans receivers, by the way, on the year, 13 catches, 153. We'll hear from Nuke Hopkins as well as his new teammates. Seemed to be a lot of love going on around there. They love what he does for the team. Capital T, capital E, capital A, capital M. They're liking what Nuke Hopkins does out there. Seattle 38, Atlanta 27. Dallas falls to the Rams 20-17. Blake Jarwin, Cowboys tight end, tears his ACL. Leighton Vander Esch suffered a fractured collarbone.
It's official today.
That might have been the most impressive thing I saw all weekend. Mm-hmm. He fractured his collarbone, and it almost looked like a fly flew on his neck. He didn't even look like he was hurt.
And that's
looking at him like, and this is a guy who had spinal injuries last year, and he goes on the field and fractures his collarbone. It almost looked like he was just waiting to get a massage or something like that.
And that's one of the more painful injuries in sports.
No kidding.
Have you ever had one?
I've had.
Didn't you fall off a truck or something? Or what?
Me?
What?
No, I've never fallen off a truck.
What was it?
No.
I thought you broke your collarbone.
No. I hurt my collarbone, but it didn't break.
I'm confusing hosts. Nick did.
Oh, okay.
Nick fell off a truck and broke his collarbone.
We all look alike. We all look alike. It's okay. Race car! But that was impressive, as was Alden Smith. How do you go 5 years without playing football and have 11 tackles in the sack and look just as good, if not better, than Aaron Donald?
And how do you go, like, the entire game on television without anyone ever really saying why you were out of football for 5 years?
Kind of slipped the mind. Packers 43, Vikings 34, Eagles 17, Washington football team 27. Then you had the Bears 27-23 over the Lions. Doubleheader tonight on Sports Radio 610. Steelers at Giants, and then those damn old Oilers, Tennessee Titans at Denver. Rocket season ended over the weekend. Daniel House, not even a part of it. He was sent home because apparently he likes to sneak girls that are supposed to give him corona tests back to the facility.
Hey, girl.
Here's James Harden talking about Daniel House and if he's disappointed in him.
Very, very disappointed. And it affected us. It affected us because, you know, obviously, you know, just the distraction, and that he was a huge, you know, part of our rotation. But we still had to go out there and compete and try to get games, try to win games.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Speak for your Aggie, sir.
Hey, there's no excuse there. I mean, he just, he was thinking with the wrong thing, man. I mean, he just let it get the best of him and hurt his teammate. How do you
He's
feel?
He's married, though? By the way.
Huh?
He's married, by the way.
Oh, really? I didn't know that part.
Yes, he is.
Oh, I didn't even heard that part.
He is.
I should have. Yeah. I should have known that.
He got sent home to his wife.
Oh, Lord.
You think he told her,
honey, I'm
honey,
home.
Can we turn the game on? Oh, you didn't care about that when you were out there. Now you want to watch the game?
Knocks on the door. Why is it locked? Why are there new locks on the doors?
No, really. Can we watch the game, sweetie?
Yeah.
TV's already broken.
That's a tough walk right there. From the car to the front door.
He's a joke.
When you know what, yes, he's a joke.
He's a joke.
Absolutely.
Like, he'll always be a joke. Daniel
absolutely.
House will always be a joke as long as he's in the NBA. This is his legacy. That's what he's going to be remembered for.
Yeah.
The only guy in the bubble that couldn't keep it in his pants. And you play for the Rockets. James Harden calling him out. By the way, Mike D'Antoni informed Tillman Fertitta he is gone. Here is Mike D'Antoni after the game talking about his time with the Rockets and his time with the players.
A little bittersweet, but I couldn't ask for better people to work with and better players to work with. So had great, great 4 years for sure. I think what the Rockets would like to do and I would like to do as a coach is get a chance. A lot of times you fall, obviously falling short. No, I'm going to coach. I like to coach. It's not always up to me, but yeah, I want to continue coaching, sure.
Here was James Harden with Adam Spillane of SportsRadio610.com talking about Mike D'Antoni before we get into the significance of the Rockets looking for a new coach.
We tried the small ball. It worked, for the most part. So we just got to take an overall look at our team and assess our team and see what holes that we need to fill and go from there.
Would you like to see Mike return next season?
Of course. Of course, Mike has done some unbelievable things here, it hasn't ended yet.
This is the epitome of be careful what you wish for, man. I mean, this is...
Some of the names I've heard are really legit names for the Rockets.
We can say them. Sam Cassell has been mentioned.
I can deal with that. I like Sam.
I understand that.
I like Sam.
I understand that.
What's
but,
the other one?
But let,
don't
okay.
Say it with a straight face.
Before we say anything else,
John.
Let's hold on. Let's remember Mike D'Antoni was genius with this offense.
Yes, he made it work.
He made it work. They didn't have a center. They confounded a bunch of teams. They met their match with the Lakers.
They never paid the luxury tax. Never which paid a great the column tax. On SportsRadio610.com about how cheap
right.
the Rockets are compared to other teams that have superstar players. Cheap, I said. Cheap. It's not a restaurant. Say the other name, please. Because this
Sam Cassell is one.
Okay, I can deal with that. He hadn't got
Jeff Van Gundy is one.
Okay,
but again, has coached here.
Okay, he's accomplished. Who else?
John Lucas. I'm telling you, John Lucas has been mentioned as a potential successor.
Dude, I love Luke. But
I love Luke.
But come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
When was the last time he coached?
It's a good
Cavs.
It was the Cavs?
Yeah, right before LeBron got there.
Come on, man.
Hey, I'm the messenger here, man.
That would be the ultimate cheap hire. Come on.
Would it surprise you?
Come on.
He's in the building. He's the next man in the room.
Come on.
What are you mad at me for? I'm just telling you what's being reported out
Come
there.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
We can't be serious. Astros have lost 8 out of 10. They're a game and a half up on Seattle with 13 games remaining. They got a day off today. Looks like Altuve could be heading back, as could Justin Verlander. Post-game shows resume tomorrow right here. On Sports Radio 610, John Lucas. My goodness, I love him. Not a better guy, but man, good gosh.
Yeah, that's a bunch.
Good gosh. Mm-hmm. Let's keep it rolling. Reaction Monday continues. So far, not so good when it comes to DeAndre Hopkins. Well, it actually kind of depends who you ask. Let's hear from Nuke, and let's look ahead for the Texans. Reaction Monday continues, presented by Coors Light, next.
Make your team better. T-E-A-M.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.